Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
He's the blessing God. He's the keeping God. He's the smiling God. He's the gracious God. He's the attentive God. He's the God who gives us peace. He's the God of blessing. And so let's never forget that. And remember that His deepest longing for you and for me is that we know that blessing.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3, in a message titled, Revelation and the Promise of Blessing. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
As we seek Christ, as we seek to grow in Him, and as we walk with Him faithfully, there's a blessing in that. And so keeping the garments, blessed are those who keep their garments. And like I said, the idea there is cultivating your faith. Peter put it like this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we come to trust in Jesus, that's our faith, that's our foundation. But then Peter says that we are to add to that, add virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness love. And he says, be even more diligent to do these things, making your calling and election sure. So as you give yourself over to the cultivation of your spiritual life, as you keep yourself alert by exercising yourself spiritually, being in prayer, being consistently in God's word, being engaged in the work of the Lord. Those are all of the ways that we, and others as well, but those are the ways that we exercise ourselves. That's the idea here. And there is the blessing that comes along with it. Sometimes we go through dry seasons or we go through challenging periods. We maybe have to really push ourselves to maintain our life spiritually. It doesn't come as naturally or as easily as it might come at other times. You know, sometimes it's just so easy to spend time seeking the Lord and His word. Sometimes it's so easy to go to prayer. Sometimes going to worship is just so natural and it's so easy and you're so inclined to do it. But then there's other times when it's not like that, right? There are other times when it's really work. You have to discipline yourself. You have to say, okay, I've got to get out of bed and read my Bible. I've got to spend time in prayer. You know, I have to just engage in worship even if I don't feel like God is near. But you know, as you do that, what you will find is that there's a blessing in that. There's a blessing that will come forth from that. And we see that in the promise right here. But then we move on. Revelation 19, verse 9, we read this, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So another blessing. It's upon those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, I believe that the marriage supper of the Lamb is really, it's a reference to the entire millennium, but I think it's a reference to the festive nature of the kingdom of Christ. You see, among the Jews, there was the understanding that a wedding was not an event that lasted for a few hours on a particular day, but it was a feast. It was a festival. It was something that lasted a week. And so when we think about the kingdom of the Lord, it's like a wedding feast that's going to go on throughout the duration of that time, that 1,000-year reign of Christ. And of course, the reign of Christ is eternal, but there's this aspect to it that's the 1,000-year reign. And that, I think, is what we're talking about when we're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And blessed are those who are called to it because it is going to be the greatest party of all time that's going to go on for 1,000 years. The greatest party of all time. Nobody's going to be drunk there. Nobody's going to be violent. Nobody's going to be rude or belligerent. Nobody's going to do anything crazy. Nobody's going to get hurt. Those are all the things that happen at the parties I used to go to. Unless, of course, they were birthday parties for my kids or something. But it's that's what's being described here. That's the imagery of the marriage supper is talking about this festive time. And Isaiah 25, verses 6 and 7, I think spell it out for us. It says, in Jerusalem, the Lord of hosts will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. So it's just going to be this wonderful, amazing time of being there rejoicing and celebrating the Lord and Jesus and the people of God and the kingdom of God and all of that. That's what he's talking about. Blessed are those. Notice though, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the called here is a reference to those who respond to the call. Make no mistake about it, everybody's invited. The call has gone out to every single person. Jesus put it like this, many are called, meaning everybody. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why is it that few are chosen? Well, few are chosen because few respond to the call. You know, it's like when you get those invitations to a wedding, for example. You can either open the invitation, read it, take the RSVP thing out and say, yep, I'll be there, count me in. Or you can just throw it away, pretend like you never saw it. You're not going to that thing. And that's sadly, that's tragically the way so many people have responded to the invitation that God has sent forth to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But for those who do respond positively, for those who say, yes, count me in, I want to be there. Yeah, those are the ones that are blessed. They will be the ones. We will be the ones who have responded. We will be the ones to experience that blessedness for that wonderful time.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
And then Revelation 20, verse 6, says this, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here's another blessing. The blessing is upon those who have part in the first resurrection. So the first resurrection, the reference here is to all of those who die in faith. They will be the ones to participate in the first resurrection. Jesus is called the first fruits of those who rise from the dead. So the first resurrection began with Christ. And then the next phase of the first resurrection will be those who are Christ at his appearing. So when Jesus appears, the dead in Christ, everybody who's died believing is going to be resurrected, and everybody who's alive believing is going to be instantly transformed. That's part of the first resurrection. That is the dead in Christ rising, and that is the living saints being caught up or raptured. But then there will be one other final phase of the first resurrection, and that will happen for those who die in faith during the tribulation. And for those who die in faith during the tribulation, for those who are martyred because of their belief in Jesus or however it is that they die, they will also be resurrected. And that first resurrection will take place prior to the establishing of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Because everybody who partakes of the first resurrection will go into that millennial kingdom and rule and reign with Christ. So the blessing here is for those who have part in the first resurrection. What does the blessing entail? Well, part of it is that they shall be priests of God in Christ and they shall reign with him for that 1,000 years. So, you know, I've said this before, and again, let me remind us, we are a people who are looking forward to something. All of God's people throughout history have always been looking forward. God has made promises, and then he calls us to, by faith, lay hold of those promises, to look forward to, and to live in the light of those promises. So God promises Abraham, his son Isaac, and his son Jacob, he promises that he's going to give them a land. And they understood that they were now waiting for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They were not content to set up their own city. They were looking ahead. They were trusting. They were waiting. And so every generation of believers has been waiting for the final fulfillment of God's promises. And we, likewise, we need to fix our minds on those promises, because the world is full of trouble. And sometimes those troubles can turn into temptations to pull back from Jesus. But, you know, if we do that, then what if we miss out? You know, we've gone so far and we're so close to the finish line, kind of, and we're ready to cross over and enter into the fullness. But then, no, because of hardship or difficulty, I pull back. We have to expect hardship and difficulty and realize that that's just part of the road that we're walking. But this road is leading to glory. This road is leading to that time when we will finally rule and reign with Christ. And that is so amazing itself. It's hard to even begin to comprehend what that's going to look like. It's going to be glorious. And blessed are those who have part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. There is no anything beyond that. All of the judgment and everything is passed. We pass from death into life, and there's no returning. The second death will have no power over those who partake in the first resurrection. And then, two final pronouncements. Revelation 22:7 says, "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And then, Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." So both of these are saying pretty much the same thing. Keeping the words of the prophecy of this book, doing his commandments, the blessing is there for those who do God's word. You see, once again, there's an inherent blessing that comes along with doing God's word. Some people think the exact opposite about God's word, as is actually the case. Some people think, oh no, you know, I don't want to become a Christian. I don't want to follow Jesus. I don't want to live according to the Bible, because that's going to mess up my life. That's going to take away all my fun. Wrong. It's going to do the exact opposite. You're already messing up your life. And it might be fun for a few minutes in the bigger picture of time, but believe me, before it's over, it will not be fun. That's just the way life goes. And the further you go into sin, the more misery you bring into your life. So keeping God's word, doing his commandments, far from being some downer kind of a thing, no, this is the way to know a blessed life. Obedience to God's word brings a blessing into our lives. As we live the way God called us to live, the natural outcome of that is blessing. You know, I'll just say this on a personal level. I look at my life and I look at my wife, my marriage, and, you know, and I'm so thankful that I got saved when I did. Because I got saved in my early 20s, but I'll tell you, I had already made a pretty good mess of my life. And I was already reaping the consequences of my decisions and my behavior. And I was already knowing the misery and the disappointment and all of those things that happen in a life of disobedience. And I sometimes just look and think, wow, Lord, you pulled me out of that. You saved me from all of that misery that I have seen all around me in the lives of so many. You saved me from that, and you've blessed my life. It's good. And that's just because God is good, and it's because if we do his commands, there is the blessing. They're connected. Doing God's word brings God's blessing upon our lives. His commandments. What are his commandments? Somebody would ask that question. Okay, doing his commandments, what does this mean? The Ten Commandments? Does this mean like all of the things that are written in the law of Moses? What does it mean? Well, no, his commands are kind of more of a general term just for his word, doing what he says to do. But John, who wrote Revelation, also wrote some letters to the churches. And in his first letter, he summed it up. He said, "And this is God's commandment, that you should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another." So that's it. And you know, listen, as we do that, as we believe in Jesus Christ, and as we believe in him, that means we're going to be obedient to him because he loves us and we love him as a result of that. And we want to please the one who loved us so much that he died for us. And, you know, all of those things are motivating us to live for his glory and cause us then to love one another. And it just sends us down a path of blessing. Blessed are those who do his commandments. So far from what many think, thinking that living according to God's laws are restrictive or that they're going to deprive you of some good thing in life that you could otherwise experience if you didn't have to do what the Bible says. Oh, that's the biggest lie of all time. No, doing what God says is doing what you were created to do, and it puts you in a place to experience blessing. That's what God wants to do. He wants to pour out an abundance of his favor upon you, and he wants your life to be happy and whole and filled with joy and peace. And that is what he promises for the life that we're now living. And then, as we read in the age to come, access to the tree of life and entrance into the eternal city, and that all equals blessings forevermore. So as we wrap things up, know this. Our God, the God of the Bible, is a blessing God. That's his intention. That's his longing. He wants to bless people. That's what he wants to do. And he tells us over and over again in the Bible the things that will lead to blessing. Now, we've just looked at 7 of them here in the book of Revelation, but we could go back and start from the very beginning, and we could find numerous times where we are told that blessing comes in response to this. And God had these things written down for us over and over again because this is what he wants us to experience. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to know his favor upon your life. He wants your life to be whole and complete and filled with joy and a happiness that transcends your circumstances, but it's a happiness just knowing that I'm in the care of my good Heavenly Father. Numbers chapter 6, we have there what's known as the priestly blessing. And God says to Moses, he says, this is the way I want you to bless the children of Israel. This is what I want you to do. I want you to pronounce this over them. And that pronouncement is, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This isn't only something that God wanted said over the people, but this is something that actually shows us the very nature of God. And there at the end of that, God says, thus you shall put my name upon them and I will bless them. So in declaring that blessing, God says, you're really declaring my name over them. And what is his name? Well, he's the blessing God. He's the keeping God. He's the smiling God. He's the gracious God. He's the attentive God. He's the God who gives us peace. He's the God of blessing. And so let's never forget that. And remember that his deepest longing for you and for me is that we know that blessing, that we know that hand of favor upon our lives. That's what he desires for us. And these things that we've looked at, these are the things that tell us about what that translates into in our life experience. You know, I was reading the story this week of, some of you might've heard of Lecrae. Lecrae is he's a rapper and he's a believer. But I've been reading his biography. It's called Unashamed. And he's just talking about his life. And, you know, it's one of those kind of just a mess from the get-go. But then he has a point where he comes and he actually becomes a Christian. He hears the gospel. He receives Christ. And this is the most wonderful thing. It's amazing. His whole life changes. And he walks with the Lord and he experiences peace and joy and the things that he never could find anywhere else. But then after some time, he kind of drifts away and he gets involved in bad things again. And he gets involved in, you know, alcohol abuse and drug abuse and promiscuity. And he gets his girlfriend pregnant. She has an abortion. And then, you know, he's fighting and brawling and involved in, you know, criminal activity, all kinds of crazy stuff. And all the time, you know, he's a believer, but he's a believer who's wandered away. He's far away. And then he just goes on, he tells the story how God finally grabbed hold of him when he was, as a believer, he's on his way to kill somebody. And the Lord just stopped him in his tracks and turned him around anyway. And then, you know, from there then on, the story gets sweet again and beautiful again. And, you know, here he is today. God's using him in an amazing way. But as I read that part of his testimony where he had those years where he was away from the Lord and how deep he sunk back into sin and how he was just right on the verge of ruining his life forever, I thought, man, I wonder how many people are out there who are like that. They had a time with the Lord. They knew the Lord. They walked with him. They followed him. But for whatever reason, they turned their back. And now they're sunk down once again in a pit of sin. But know this, that just like God reached down and pulled him out, he can pull you out too. So if that's you today, then this is your moment to get things right.
We're pleased to have Pastor Brian and Cheryl Brodesen back in the studios with us once again to discuss this month's resource.
I can see that right in front of you, you have The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer.
You know that I love theology books. Most theology books, and when I'm talking about theology, I'm talking about the study of God. Most theology books tend to be very, very thick, and sometimes they can be kind of dry as well. But, you know, this book, this classic book, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, is neither thick nor is it dry. It's actually a relatively small book, but it is such a powerful book. And it really looks at the attributes of God and gives us insight into things like the eternal nature of God, talks about the Trinity and helps us to understand how there's one God and three persons. This is a great book.
So, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson, for stopping by the studios and sharing your experience with this month's resource, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And we'd like to send it to you for a donation of any size to Back to Basics. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.